Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good morning, millennials.
Welcome back to The Toast. Happy Tuesday. That feels like a Monday. That also feels like a Thursday because this is our first episode of the week. And our most recent episode is since last Wednesday. We have missed you dearly. Hey, Jax, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you very much. So excited to be back on the podcast. So much to share from my time off. So much content consumed. So many thoughts were created.
Yes.
And I look forward to chatting with my girl because you had a busy weekend. I've rarely seen you.
I know. We haven't even spoken. I think we're going to have a really juicy TV recap.
Well, we talked yesterday a little.
A little.
And we did talk about The Crown.
Today's episode, we're going to talk about The Crown. Did you finish the whole season?
Yeah.
So did I. I also finished Love is Blind last week, which I feel like it's so funny how like shows get so hot and so cold so fast. Like Love is Blind feels so irrelevant, even though it was literally the episode came out less than a week ago. But I'll talk about the finale and like the cuties gate, which I'll explain to you. There's like a lot of drama going on. We could talk about that in the TV recap. But otherwise, how was your time off, Jax? What have you been up to since Wednesday?
So I've been home chilling a few different things. I spent like one whole day watching The Crown. I forget which day it was. I read a lot. So excited to share with everyone my book updates because I finished two books and then I started a new one last night. And last night I also watched the premiere of Yellowstone, which was so good. I'll recap that during the TV recap.
You know what? Like, I've been, like, very against Yellowstone. I don't know anything about it. I just, like, don't watch
You're
it.
Wrong.
I'm like, I'm not. I know I'm wrong. And I never really cared. But now that, like, the season premiered and everyone was, like, talking about it on Instagram, like, I do have FOMO.
You would love it so much. Everything about it. Everything about it is 10 out of 10.
Jackie, I'm
for
so
you.
Busy. Like, I'm so busy.
But you watch Love is Blind. So I just can't. Feel
because
bad
Love
for
is
you.
Blind, like they give me four episodes at a time.
You could take four episodes at a time of Yellowstone.
No, but now it's like premiering on that and like on a weekly episodic basis. It's just like a lot of work for me.
But like you could literally watch all the seasons in one week and it still wouldn't be enough for you. Diana.
Well, yeah, okay. We'll talk about that in the TV.
You know what?
Recap.
I'll just bide my time until you come around and you say, Jax, I should have listened. This is Downton. This is reading.
Well, speaking of things I should have listened to about yesterday was the first meeting of my book club. And I really, you know, it put into perspective for me, like, how far I've come when it comes to reading.
I saw your, like, emotional, nostalgic TikTok.
You want to know why? Because I feel like one of my lesser qualities is my like stubbornness and how when I dig my heels in on something, I just go for it, even though like I'm usually not right. And with reading, like it was just always this thing like I would never do. It's like this mountain I would never climb. And now that I'm at the top of the mountain, I've read over 100 books. My book club officially started last night. I really was able to see how far I've come, which when it comes to reading, which isn't a big deal, but the fact that like I now enjoy something I swore I would never enjoy, like I conquered my own stubbornness. That for me is like the big deal. It's not about the reading. It's about what the reading represents.
Yes, but I also think the reading 100 books in under 3 years for someone who didn't read before is a huge deal. I mean, I had the same feeling for myself. I didn't read before 2019 and now I read so much and I feel so accomplished.
I feel so accomplished. And also now that like I'm a part of a book club, like it's a gorgeous way to spend a weeknight. Like we had so much fun. It was, you know, we got to gossip a little. We talked about the book a lot, but like we also like are just friends. So we just like talked about life. We got ice cream. My friend cooked dinner. It was so nice.
That's so nice. I want to hear about the book club tings. And obviously I love a book club. We have a podcast called The Redheads Book Club, which you should check out.
I've heard.
If you want to like join a book club, but you don't have friends who read or people who would want to do such a thing with you, The Redheads, we're the book club.
Always like, there for you.
The remote book club.
The RBC.
The RHBC.
So the book that we read for book club was called Woman on Fire by Lisa Barr. I gave it 5 stars, which is really maybe only the third book I've given 5 stars to this year. It was very you, very not me. I don't really get into historical fiction. And I do kind of, I do feel definitely a little weird about historical fiction when it comes to World War II and the Holocaust, because there are so many, there's millions of horrendous stories worth telling. So I don't know why we have to like make stuff up. But I was able to look past that because it was an excellent book and I got a lot of context. The history around it is real, just this particular story, like these people didn't exist. And I was able to learn a lot about like thievery, you know, destroying of art during World War II and just like another element of the Nazis being Nazis.
Yeah, I learned a lot about the destruction of art during World War II from my other nonfiction book that no one would let me talk about, The Princess Spy.
Cool.
By, I kept calling him Lionel, the author. I think his name is Larry. I don't know. But I agree with, like, I hear what you're saying about you don't need to make stuff up about the Holocaust and World War II. Like, there's enough stories. But typically these historical fiction books, like, it's an author who doesn't have a personal connection or a story, like, that they, of one person that they want to tell. So anytime you're, like, ad-libbing, adding conversations, it becomes fictionalized. And two, a lot of these authors kind of amalgamate different pieces of true stories and put together one story that gives you so many elements of things that did happen. So it doesn't bother me so much, but that reminds me of that show, and I think we talked about this a few years ago.
Yes.
What was that show called? Hunters?
Hunters.
And they fictionalized a scene in one of the death camps that was like really brutal.
Vulgar.
Form of torture, and that didn't happen. And it's like, well, there were enough things that did happen that were true, so that's weird to add that.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people feel that way. Like a lot of my friends like will not read fiction when it comes to World War II, just as like a principle, and I get it.
Oh, I didn't know that. I mean, I wouldn't read like, well, would they watch Inglourious Basterds?
Inglourious Basterds is different because it's really fantasy. Like it's fanfic. If only we could have gathered all the Nazis in one room and burned that shit to the ground. It's like, it's fantastical in the sense that like, if only it could have gone that way, you know?
So were some of your friends who don't read World War II fiction in your book club?
No. I just know people like won't do it. That was the conversation that a lot of people were having over that Amazon Prime show, Hunters. People just like wouldn't watch it because why fictionalize an event in history that has so many stories worth telling?
Yeah, I do think like World War II historical fiction books and that scene are different. Because the scenes, no. the pictures that they're painting in the books that we're reading like are real things that happened.
No, but
it's
I'm
kind
saying.
Kind of like the Titanic, like Jack and Rose. Jack and Rose weren't real passengers.
Yeah.
But everything else about the movie is true. And you get a picture of what happened on the Titanic.
Yeah, no, but the whole story that they were telling during Hunters was not true. Not just that one scene.
Oh, really? What else?
No, like those characters didn't exist.
The ones who are hunting Nazis?
Yeah, like it was a fictional TV show.
Got it.
So that's like a principal thing. And it definitely like, it's not enough for me not to read the book. And I'm so glad that I did read the book.
Yeah. And it also makes it like more of, unfortunately, entertainment, storytelling. You got to get through the book.
Oh, by the way, and then we chose our book for next week, and we were very inspired by the Redheads. And we
next
chose
month.
Next month.
I'm we like, chose girl, in the that's dark. Ambitious. Flicker in the Dark was Dana's Redhead's choice from the summer. So good for your book club, so good just to read in general. And it's pretty spooky stuff, so.
That's what I told everyone. And I said,
Jackie.
Don't read
that night.
I said, Jackie recommends, and the whole book club respects you.
Wow.
They said, what did Jackie say? What does Jackie say here? They respect you.
Wow, that's so, so sweet. And I think Flicker in the Dark, though, while you're reading it, you're going to be cursing Jackie, like, I'm spooked, this is scary. Mm-hmm. By the end, you'll be like, oh, Jax did it again.
Jack Strikes Again.
Even though it was a Dana's choice.
Tell me about what you're reading.
Wow.
Well, it's only fair because I spoke about mine.
Thank you so much. So last week I was reading The Accidental Empress by Allison Pataki, who is a historical fiction writer. She writes about real people in history, but, you know, zhuzhes it up a little bit. So Accidental Empress is about Cece, Empress Elizabeth of Austria, who's the empress during Austria's golden era. And she's the subject of the show The Empress on Netflix. And so I just wanted to know more about the girl. And I'm so glad that I read the book. It actually has a second book, which I wasn't going to read at first, but then last night I started it because I was missing CC after reading a book in between. And the first book was really great. I feel like I've got the picture of CC of her first 20 years or so on the throne. And actually, I'm so glad I read it when I did, because in so many ways, she reminds me of Princess Diana. And reading that book, I feel like gave me more context and a better understanding of like Princess Diana's position when I watched the season of The Crown, because I feel like all the Princess Diana stuff like happened when we were too young to remember it,
yes,
but too old to have read about it in history. So I don't really know exactly what happened. I don't have an opinion on it necessarily. And so I really look to things like The Crown to understand that period of time. Now, of course, as we know, Judi Dench lets us know, like, The Crown is fiction. Mm-hmm. It really is mostly true. Like, let's get real.
I know.
And I found that this season, like, this whole thing about, like, Charles has a plot to overthrow the queen, like, that is a stretch. He didn't have a plot. He just, like, itch.
No, I don't think that they made it seem. I feel like
he constantly has an itch.
I don't think they made it seem like he was plotting to overthrow. It's just like he really was so impatient and was like definitely crossing a lot of lines because he literally was so bored.
Yes, but in the media before the show came out, they were like, there are a few storylines this season that didn't happen, including Charles's plot to overthrow the queen. And it's like, that's not what happened in The Crown. He just has this perpetual itch because he's a bored old man. And so I feel like maybe this shouldn't be my takeaway, but I just feel like The Crown is so close to the truth. And everyone keeps telling me that it's not, but I just feel like it is.
No, I have to live that way. I have to live that way.
Right? Like, otherwise, what the fuck am I watching?
No, what are we doing?
Fanfic?
100%.
So even though some things with a grain of salt, they definitely like more some people more than other people, and some people come off well, I felt like it gave me a better sense of like Diana's final years within the firm.
And the marriage.
While also being very Diana philic, you know?
No, it was definitely pro-Diana, because a lot of the stuff that we've seen of Diana, like Spencer with Kristen Stewart, there's been a million movies. She really was, she was not well. Like, she was struggling a lot. And I feel like they didn't even mention that in The Crown.
Yeah. And so reading Cece, so she's another one who's like a really young bride. She comes to power, well, Diana never was queen, but comes to royal life very young. And it doesn't have like a full sense of self before she does. And then like everything is thrust upon her. She's incredibly popular with the people. Like, they love her at certain times. Like, she's the only one keeping the Habsburgs on the throne because they love her so much. And like, that's the popularity that Diana had. There are a few differences. One being like Cece and Emperor Franz, like, were so in love when they got married. And so like every time he wasn't there for her, like, she was heartbroken and she had no one. And I just like never got the sense that Diana and Charles were so in love. But then Diana's gripe in the show is that like Charles didn't love her enough. And it's like, did you really care about Charles?
No, I agree. And I have no proof of this, but like, I just wasn't like vibing with the idea that Charles like left Diana and Diana was so in love with him. And that was really like what they were saying was, like, in the show.
That was Diana's biggest and only problem, really, was that she didn't get enough love from Charles. Like, that's not.
I don't think that that's it.
I don't think that that's it either. So, of course, not. I mean, like, he's like,
she is Diana, and like, he's like fugly. Like, let's be real.
Yeah, I mean, it's not about looks, but I just feel like it was a marriage like most royal marriages are, which is like mostly a business partnership.
Yeah,
that will bear fruit, and you just hope to have like mutual respect for one another and get along, which they couldn't.
But they
do.
Couldn't do that. Yeah.
No. So, anyways, we'll talk about The Crown when we talk about it. I'm so glad I read the book on Cece. And then I read The Last Rose of Shanghai, which is a historical fiction book about the Shanghai during World War II and a lot of the Jews who fled Germany and went to Shanghai. I've never been in this time and place. And it was so interesting to learn what went on. It's from two perspectives, one of like a Jew from Germany who moves to Shanghai and falls in love with a Chinese woman. And then we also get her perspective of like falling in love with a foreigner. And it was cute. It was up and down.
Yeah.
And like, it wasn't great, but I liked reading about that time period, and I definitely want to learn more now. So that's always good.
By the way, we are recording this episode earlier than usual. One, because I've been up since 4:30. Me and Ben were on Fox Business today. We did a segment on Spritz launching in New York, which if you don't know, we are now being sold in stores in New York. We just launched in Alabama. That's why my show in Alabama was perfect timing. But also, I wanted to get the podcast done before Taylor Swift presale starts, which starts today at 10 a.m. Eastern time, which is like a huge priority for me.
Now I know I'm up at 6:30.
I'm really...
Now I know the real reason.
I'm really shaken up. Like, I was not selected for verified fan presale. And I really thought all hope was lost. And then Margo got the email and we were planning on buying tickets together anyway. So like, once again, counselor coming in clutch.
She's now so she has connected to go. That counts.
Now she has to go with me. I don't know if she was planning on it, but now she has to. And I just want to wish everyone like good luck today with the Capital One presale, verified presale. Like, you know, you're going to bloom where you're planted. So whatever seats you ended up getting, like, it's where you were meant to sit.
Good, because it's the one you got. And literally, you know, the stress does not end after Taylor Swift presale, because our Toast holiday merch launches tomorrow at 10 a.m. Claudia and I are wearing this season's Toasty crew necks. We update them every year. And this season, we're going for like a pleanier vibe, plein the season. We posted pictures on the Toast Instagram this weekend of all of the holiday merch that's dropping. We'll continue to post pictures through till tomorrow, including like lay flats of everything that is actually launching. But to break it down for you, we have these two Toasty crew necks. I'm wearing the white one. McClardia is wearing the pink one. Then we have two sets of pajamas. One set is black long sleeve and long pants. They're so delicious, soft, and comfortable. Oh my God.
I was wearing them literally 20 minutes ago.
TMT embroidered on the left breast and the left thigh. I sound like a roast chicken. And then we also have a set of pajamas that are creamy and pink, and they are shorts and short sleeves. So some people like a warm pajama, some people like a hot pajama.
To breathe, yeah.
Now, this year we have both for you. We also have slippers. I'm actually wearing mine.
Also, a huge update on our pajamas from last year is the buttons. We wanted to let you know, we heard your complaints last year. The buttonholes were like a little too big for the buttons. So like sometimes you'd wake up with a nipple out. I had the same issue with my pair. I didn't mind, but I understand that it's not ideal for everyone. We have updated. We've made sure that the buttons and the holes are better. So we apologize for that. We are constantly learning and growing. And this pajamas this year will not have that problem.
My pajamas from last year did not have that problem, but I have pajamas from other brands that have that problem. And so I understand the frustration.
We
did our best to ameliorate that this year. So we look forward to unfreeing the nipple, unfortunately.
Right. Putting the nipple back in jail.
No more freedom for your nipples.
Nope.
But we have slippers for your feet. So I'm wearing the pink ones that say PGOW, PJOW, Precious Gem of Woman. And then we also have a black version that say PGOM, Precious Gem of Man.
Perfect stocking stuffer for this season, along with our blanket. Our blankets last year were so popular. We brought them back with a new... I don't think
you could do a blanket as a stocking stuffer, but...
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. Stocking stuffer is like... It's like a metaphor. It's not like... You know what I mean?
No. It's pretty literal.
No, I think it's a metaphor. Like, it's a stocking stuffer, you know?
Okay,
the mug is a stocking stuffer.
Yes, the mug is a stocking stuffer. Just make sure
the ornaments.
Make sure you have a strong hook on your stuff. Yes, well, the ornaments would go on the tree.
Right. Yeah, our TMT ornaments, which always sell out, are back. We have 100%. And it's worth noting that this will be our final collection, not just holiday, our final collection with the Morning Toast. So a lot of the merch has updated to Toast, but we wanted one last collection that says Morning. So some of the products say Morning. And
the blanket says, don't talk to me until I've listened to the Morning Toast. The blanket is so comfortable. Bryce has completely co-opted it, which I'm happy for him. Like, he deserves comfortable blankets too. But man, it's new. Anything?
It's very aesthetically pleasing.
It's so high-gee.
It's so high-gy, and it's really topping out. Another stunning holiday collection from us that launches Wednesday, that's tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern time, on our new link, which is toastmerch.com. You still can go to Shop Morning Toast, like your browser probably remembers it, and you'll be redirected, but we officially have rebranded our merch now to toastmerch.com, not to be confused with Hermes.com or
but you
Chanel.
You can still go to shopchanel.com and you'll be redirected, because obviously, yeah. Like,
no, but actually, so it's toastmerch.com and shopmorningtoast.com, like, just to actually not confuse people.
And then Hermes and Chanel, of course.
Right. So if you're looking for inspo pics, what the sizing is, I'm wearing large. What are you wearing?
I'm wearing, that's a great question, because I always get a medium, but I always want a large. So let's see actually requested what I wanted.
I got large in the crew necks.
Large!
And the pajamas at shop, nope, at toastmerch.com.
Toastmerch.com. I'm wearing a large, but it fits like all other Toast merch. I usually wear a medium, but now with this large, I cover more thigh. It's like a cozier 100%. Vibe for me.
100%. Very high-gy.
So high-gy. So that launches tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern time. So like, we're not going to see you guys again until after the launch. Godspeed, you know?
Godspeed. Limited inventory. I think that goes without saying.
Limited in the sense that once it sells out, it's not coming back, but we have ordered a lot of stuff. So people should be able to get what they want, but it's not unlimited. The limit does exist.
Right.
And we're dropping it so early because we want to ensure that everybody gets everything before Christmas. Like, so
the post office at this time of year is not
something
you want to fuck
with. Every year we drop it earlier and earlier, and every year we're like biting our nails that, you know, we hope the last person gets their merch. And so this year we're like,
even earlier,
more leeway, more lead time.
More leeway. So hope you guys can get what you want. And what I want this winter break is Jordan.
And how's that going for you?
So good. So good. I get what I want. And this winter break, I want Jordan.
Good. Because it's what I got.
Deceased. So we have a fabulous show. Again, lots of TV recap, lots of news to catch up on. So I say we dive in. What do you say?
Okay, without further ado, where are you? I miss those Strice brethren.
Do-do-do-do-do, so do you. Bruno needs his auntie.
Do-do-do-do-do, yes he does. Bruno laid in your bed yesterday.
Missing his auntie. Missing his auntie.
Missing his auntie dearly. And,
did Harry get in there too?
Nope. He was like, I'm all good.
Sniffed around. Oh, auntie was here. I miss her careless whisper, her beautiful singing voice.
Brew was saying these things. Brew was, for sure.
Not Harry.
No, not yesterday at least.
Speaking of rolled, I did want to say I had an amazing weekend out on tour. I was in Charlotte, Durham, and Birmingham. The last travel leg of the show, which was amazing. Like, seriously, everyone who came, it was really special, and I got such good gifts for Rolled. I also got these leggings I'm wearing. Somebody brought me Lululemon leggings, like, not the expensive leggings. No, I know, and they're really amazing. I'm wearing them right now.
So do you get, like, the Lululemon hype?
Like, I still think it is a manipulative cult, but I get the hype for sure.
Not as manipulative as LuLaRoe.
But the thing is with LuLaRoe, like, I understood the hype because those leggings were absolutely gorgeous.
They had pizzazz.
Charisma.
LuLaRoe greater than Lululemon.
Is that even a question?
I think some people are questioning it.
It couldn't be me.
I miss the LuLaRoe days. Take me back.
I know, to like that iconic documentary.
Yeah, and like our iconically hot takes.
Justice for those women, honestly.
Justice for LuLaRoe. Justice for MLMs. And justice for those who wish to participate in MLMs at their own free will and are having a good time.
Because free will
Just please don't message me on Facebook.
No, totally. Unless you're selling that Rodan and Fields lash serum, I'll take that. That's some good shit.
Or you have LuLaRoe leggings that are the spooky scary skeletons.
Because heard, you know what I got?
I heard they exist. What'd you get?
I got somebody brought me a pair of pajamas that they found at Kohl's to the meet and greet, and they are extremely similar to Spooky Scary. Not exact, but so far it's the closest I've gotten to replicating my now deceased pair of Target spooky, scary skeleton pajamas. Look really close.
They're truly deceased, those pairs.
Jackie, who am I?
The skeletons on your pants.
Yes. How did you know?
Oh, I miss those pajamas. You haven't been wearing them as much.
No, they're literally ripped. There's like a hole in the crotch. Like they're done. You're done.
Take them to the tailor.
I know. That's like psychotic to spend like $100 altering a $5 pair of pajamas.
But like the place it has in my heart, priceless.
Is invaluable. Yeah. No, that's true.
Send me the bill.
Sure.
No, that's how important to me they are.
Done.
That's how I'll much joy I get when we FaceTime and you're wearing them.
Spooky, scary skeletons and shivers down your spine. So you didn't finish your sentence. Without further ado.
I didn't. Without further ado, here are the Fast Five stories that you need to know.
Today's episode is brought to you by Honey. What is Honey? Well, thank you, PayPal Honey, for sponsoring today's episode. They are manually searching for coupon codes for you. So the days of like having to like Google like a coupon code for this are over. Honey is a fabulous browser extension that is free to download when you use our link. And they will do all the work for you. It is a free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one that it finds to your cart. I have been a personal fan of Honey for years. I think I started using it in like 2018. I save money all the time when I'm shopping online for makeup, for clothing, for food, for electronics, whatever it is. Pretty much every place I shop uses Honey. And when I'm checking out, this little man pops down. He's like a dancing gold coin. He's wearing white sneakers. I think maybe they're Converse. And he's like, hey, girl, you want to save some money? And I said, yeah, I do. I click his little button. 4 seconds. They run through a ton of codes. The one that has the most savings, they will apply. I have saved countless money with Honey. And now, did you know that I feel like everyone uses Honey online on their computers, but now they have a browser extension for your phone so that you can download it on Safari. So when you're shopping online on your phone, you can now save money there too, which is stunning. If you don't already have Honey, you are straight up missing out on their holiday deals. You're doing so much online shopping this holiday season. Like, give yourself a break. Download Honey. It is free and it installs in seconds. And by getting it, you're doing yourself a solid. We would obviously never recommend something we don't use. You can get PayPal Honey for free at joinhoney.com/toast. That's joinhoney, joinhoney.com/toast. Thank you, Honey. It's everything of the sort. Today's episode is also brought to you by Boll & Branch. After long days of decorating, hosting, and celebrating, nothing feels better than a good night's sleep in the buttery, soft sheets of Boll & Branch. Their signature hemmed sheet set from Boll & Branch is made from the finest 100% organic cotton that you will ever feel, and it has a really luxurious experience that you'll enjoy for years to come. Jackie and I rave on Instagram, on podcasts all the time about Boll & Branch. Being away from home since Wednesday, like, I really cannot put into words the joy I felt climbing back into my bed, knowing like I was being comforted by the gorgeous hands of Boll & Branch. We both have the signature hemmed sheet collection. They offer a ton of different sizes, different colors. We both have it in white. We both have king beds. But whatever size you're looking for, whatever color you're looking for, Boll & Branch is there for you. Also a great stocking stuffer, because giving someone the gift of like a comfortable home is really invaluable. So their products are made different so you can sleep better at night. They're made from 100% organic cotton, the finest on earth. They're free from toxins, pesticides, harsh chemicals, and they're made by artisans who earn the pay and respect that they deserve. Give the gift of a better night's sleep with Boll & Branch. Right now, our listeners get early access to their Black Friday sale with the promo code. That's 25% off your first set of sheets and free shipping when you use the promo code TOAST at bollandbranch.com. That's Boll & Branch, B-O-L-L-A-N-D, branch.com. That promo code is TOAST and the offer ends November 27th. So make sure you take advantage of it and make sure that you're thinking of people in your life that you love. Obviously you should get for yourself, but also it's the season of joy and you should be spreading that joy with Boll & Branch. And don't forget to use code TOAST, offer ending November 27th.
Thank you, McLeod.
You're welcome.
First story, Gisele Bündchen's pics with Joaquin Valente, her son's jiu-jitsu instructor, are showing Tom Brady what he's missing. It's been just a few weeks since Tom and Gisele announced their divorce, but sources who know the couple say the supermodel is sending a message to her ex by posing in flagrante with jiu-jitsu hunk Joaquin Valente. That must be
constantly posing in flagrante.
That must be a saying, because it doesn't say flagrant and there's no noun after that, because that's an adjective. But it
must be a pose.
flagrant and then an E at the end.
It's a pose, I'm assuming. A jujitsu pose. No?
I was going to say, no, like, they're not in a jujitsu pose. They're just walking, though.
No, I saw, like, a picture of them, like, but I guess that was, like, back in the Krav Maga, like, when they first, I don't know.
You don't know.
Well, a lot of people we are, like, being dumb. We have to get to the bottom
of posing in
flagrante. Maybe, okay, wait, maybe it's because she's Brazilian. They're using a Brazilian word, Portuguese.
I'm just going to Google it.
Flagrante. I, like, have such a beautiful accent when I speak in other languages.
Okay, very naked Kim and Kanye pose in flagrante. Okay, so it means nude.
Were they naked?
Not in these pictures.
No.
Okay.
What on earth is going on in the House of Commons?
I just missed that E when I initially read the article, or else I would have had so many questions. But Page Six is told that Giselle has known Joaquin Belante, who lives in Miami, for at least a year and a half. She met him after signing up her son for lessons in the ancient art of Japanese self-defense before taking lessons herself. While sources close to her insist that she's not dating him, who he's believed... A family source said it certainly looks like Giselle is showing off and showing Tom what he's missing. So the two were rumored to be in Costa Rica walking.
Right. People are being like so dumb, like, you know, that she was having an affair because it's only weeks after and she's with someone. And like, lest we not forget how long it takes to get divorced. And I'm pretty sure Tom and Giselle have been like separated for over a year. So let's just keep that in mind and not be stupid. I know it's really, really difficult for a lot of you, but like, a lot of people, not the toasters.
Feel like Tom and Giselle have been on the outs for a while. I wouldn't be surprised if like Tom has seen other people since. I don't think that the timing is like so crazy. I just think it's crazy like there was a picture of them when they're
I think it's crazy that he's a nobody.
Yeah. Who were you expecting, Brad Pitt?
I mean, I would prefer it. And I wasn't expecting anyone specifically. I just assumed the next time she was spotted out, it would be with like someone on her lev, you know, that's short for level, by the way.
Yeah, but she dated, she was with like the superstar quarterback and.
Yeah. And maybe she didn't like not being like number one.
Yeah. I feel like when you go from being like A-list and A-list couple, like then typically afterwards you try something different.
Right. It's giving Casper Smart. But I do think it's really difficult to engage in like a really meaningful relationship with someone whose world is like so different than yours, you know? Like, she's literally the biggest supermodel in the world and like he's not.
Yeah, but I actually think their worlds might not be so different right now when she's just like in mom mode, because the article also said like he could have been on vacation with the family because the kids are homeschooled and so their other teacher was there too. So like if she's just like constantly with her kids in like this schooling situation,
that's true.
One of her instructors, then like it's just like your teachers. It's, you know, Mr. Hall and
right.
What was her name?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Clueless.
Oh, Miss Geist.
Miss Geist.
Queen. Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. And honestly, it probably is nothing. It probably is like she's taking all the homeschool teachers on vacation. What a life. so it's probably nothing, even though like the pictures, like they were getting like a little flirty and fun. But maybe she's just having fun.
I think they're together.
I'm just like, this is not like the world. You know, we were shipping Kim Kardashian and Tom Brady. Like I was envisioning like a lot of things for Tom and Giselle, and this was not one of them. Although I do think, because I was just catching up on Kardashians and I watched an episode where all the models, like the Victoria's Secret girlies, did Skims. I do think like Kim would maybe not date Tom Brady just in the hopes of getting Giselle for Skims.
But wouldn't she have been in that campaign? Well, she's not
like
really
she
that
could have. But she's like so much more than that. Like if they actually had like their own campaign, Skims X Giselle, like that would be huge for Skims. Like I could actually see it.
Bigger than some of the other stuff that she's done?
No, just like one of their iconic shoots.
But you think she would turn down Love for that? What would she put first, her love. Business or her heart?
Kim, I think she would prefer business, honestly.
Literally, how are we talking about Kim right now when she's never like... There's been no connection.
Well, people are just like shipping her and Tom Brady because it's literally like the most eligible woman and the most eligible man right now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Anyways, Giselle seems to have found love. I'm happy for her. She also is doing jujitsu. She posted like some videos earlier this year of her.
You
want to
know why I'm so funny? Because like if a major celeb like started dating a nobody, but the celeb was a man and the nobody was a woman, like I would be obsessed.
Really?
But like, yes, I think like it's literally like one of my romance novels. Like it's when the man is like fancy and rich and just plucks a girl out of obscurity. Obsessed. A girl like J-Lo and Casper Smart, like the way I hated that relationship, like I don't fuck with that. Like a woman that powerful needs someone on her own level. Like okay, I'm sorry, she deserves that.
Now I understand what you're saying. You're saying a lot of euphemisms, but I know your like core issue is like the money. And that's what you see in your books. Like in your books, when it's like the woman makes so much more money than the man, no, you don't money. Like that. Yeah.
I don't like that.
But like if Giselle was dating a nobody billionaire businessman that you never obsessed. Heard of. Obsessed. Obsessed.
You know, it is all about the money. And I was thinking about that recently. Like my like the way I see gender is like so unequal. Like I'm like, okay, I was thinking the other day about how like if there was like, and this never happens, but like sometimes like, you know, female, like not influencers, but like female, fine. Let's say female influencers are like reality stars. They like, you know, start a business and then like their husbands like start managing the business. I'm like, ew, like literally like get a job, like stop. But then like, let's say this man gets a platform and he like has his wife, like, you know, run the business. I'm like, I'm obsessed.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that.
Cause it's like seriously like a man leeching on a woman, like get out of here. I'm just very traditional. That's what it is.
You are very traditional, but I think that that's okay to like expect different things from men and women.
I agree because we are different.
Yeah, and we have different strengths and different weaknesses. So yeah. When like a man is like playing to a woman's strength, it's like, what about go chop down a tree?
Right, get back to work, you know? I think like the way I see gender, I've like recently become really aware of like my very gender bias. It's a little stereotypical, also just like a double
standard.
Double standard. That's it.
I think that it's okay. Like, I don't think that everything that you should say to women should apply to men. I don't think everything you should say about men should apply to women.
I agree.
So anyways,
and maybe I majored in gender studies.
You're a gender studies nightmare.
They would hate me in the gender studies department.
But they would look at you. They'd say, this project.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They think they'd make me, you know, they'd make a man out of me.
No, anyways, you never know.
Maybe it's the holiday season that has me feeling that way, because, you know, I turn into like a male chauvinist when it's the holidays.
You've like kind of been saying these things all year, but go off.
So you're saying it's not a seasonal thing?
No, it's an annual thing.
I don't think so.
But maybe this jujitsu instructor is like the top of his field, like owns a bunch of jujitsu.
Oh, well, that changes throughout the country. Oh, and so he's like, a jujitsu mogul. You didn't say that.
He could be a jujitsu mogul.
Okay, well, if that's the case, I will reevaluate.
Yeah. I just want happiness.
I think
for
he
Giselle.
Actually, I read somewhere he invented jujitsu.
So,
you know what that means?
Makes you think.
Money.
Anyways, sound off in the comments if you know what posing in flagrante means.
Oh, please let us know. Flagrante.
Are you ready for our next story? Kind of related, but not really story.
Yeah.
Of some new couple news. Pete Davidson and M. Ratta are reportedly dating and really like each other. Move over, Sebastian, Claudia, Bear, McLeod, and Kim Kardashian. Yeah. Pete and Emily are reportedly dating. Just for everyone, he's 28, she's 31. Source told Us Weekly, Pete and Emily have been talking for a couple months now. They're in the very early stages, but both really like each other. The source explained that the two met through mutual friends who set them up. The insider said Pete makes Emily laugh, and he loves how intelligent she is. The couple initially sparked romance rumors after they were spotted holding hands on a date in Brooklyn on Saturday night on Dumois.
You know what? I'm getting really sick of Pete Davidson. Like, every time he dates someone, like, it's so obvious. Like, come on, date someone chubby. Like just do something different. Like, it's the same thing over and over. Like, I don't know. I'm just very uninspired by his choices. It's like, you know, I look for beauty in a less standardized way, I guess, than Pete. And I'm just, I'm very uninspired by his choices. I really am.
He's pretty like shallow.
Yeah.
Except that strangely enough, all of the beautiful women that he dates also happen to be like incredibly accomplished. And I think that if Emrata heard you describing her as only a pretty face, like,
oh my God,
literally fucking come for you.
She would. And wait, she also has a podcast now, so maybe she will come for us, because like if I just started a podcast, I also would attack like the biggest female podcasters just so I can like get my name thrown in the ring. So if she does it, that's why. No, I'm kidding. Of course, Emily Ratajkowski is like extremely smart. She's an author. She's a mom. She's a model. She's a businesswoman. But she also, like, I'd be remiss to, and you know, not acknowledge, she's arguably like one of the hottest women on the planet. Like, yeah, everyone agrees.
Literally copy and paste that sentence, Kim Kardashian. Copy and paste that sentence, Ari.
Kate Beckinsale.
Right. So I think that Pete should go on the show Love is Blind, though, because he keeps going for the same person, and it's not working for him.
No, that's an amazing point. Also, I think it's worth mentioning, like, why I think people are really drawn and intrigued by Pete Davidson is because he is a little ugly. Like he's not traditionally handsome. He has this look about him where people either think he's, like, so hot or not. And that's what makes him interesting and intriguing. And I just wish he would, like, apply that same energy. Like, why don't you date someone a little ugly?
Yeah. Also, he's tall. Which, if you're a man, you can get away with a lot.
And funny.
And funny. And as stated, he definitely has this like je ne sais quoi about
amazing
him
personality.
That just makes him like this chick magnet.
Yeah. I was just like, when I saw this, I'm like blasé. I'm like, obviously hot people dating hot people. What's new?
Honestly, it feels like there's this really small circle of single people right now who are just like rotating with one another. And in our heads, we're like putting them together. But it's actually crazy that these two are going out when it's
actually
like
got some together
fanfic.
That's a perfect way of describing how we all felt, honestly.
Yeah, it's like it's crazy that it hasn't even been like adequately memed, the two of them, because she really is like the most beautiful woman in the world, and Pete Davidson exclusively dates the most beautiful women in the world. So it's like a parody of itself, and we're actually all kind of over it because that's how fatigued.
And I'm honestly really shocked that she would even want to date him, because she like is so against being referenced by her looks. Like, I think she, you know, gets offended if you refer to her as like the most beautiful woman in the world. So now she's just like in a lineup of the other beautiful women in the world. And I feel like it would be insulting to her intelligence. She's like a very new wave feminist like that.
Which must speak to how much she really likes him.
Yeah. And she and I have that in common. Being like really new wave feminists.
Or really liking Kim Kardashian, Pete Davidson.
I'm not even like, I know I'm like delusional queen, but like seriously, if Pete Davidson asked me out on a date, I'd be like, no.
You'd be like, I'm married.
I know that.
I'm kidding.
Like, I'm saying
that's like I think that's so annoying. I agree. People say.
I agree. But like, yeah, like if you had, I'm always saying to Ben, I'm like, if you had to save me or Theo, like who would you save? He's like, well, I don't have to save. I'm like, but it's a game, bitch.
No. Like, my pet peeve is like when we're talking about, and maybe it's just like how we talk, but we'll be like, if so-and-so asked to take me on a date, like people will be like, but you're married. It's like, it's a game.
No, it's a game. It's called suspension of disbelief. Like, read a book.
It's a game. Chill out.
It's a game. Relax.
Oh, just funny, funny stuff.
Speaking of funny stuff, we've got more show coming to you, brought to you by Origins. So Origins is the pioneering nature-infused skincare brand that has elevated gift sets that will surprise and delight everyone on your upcoming holiday shopping list. Origins creates transformative skincare with naturally derived ingredients to noticeably improve how skin looks and feel. They also have a long history of commitment to the planet. They reduce waste and they care for our natural resources. So Origins is just a brand that you can trust. Their skincare products are amazing. I feel like everybody has at least one product from Origins in their skincare routine. But now with the holidays coming up, Origins has you covered because they have these amazing gift sets that I've actually already gifted to like a bunch of people in my life. And it's such a good gift to get to someone, because even if someone is like not into skincare, giving them the gift of skincare is like something that they can actively start in the new year. It's like a really thoughtful gift, and they don't have to be like into beauty for it to be a good gift. So all of their holiday gift set cartons are plastic free, they're recyclable, and they're sourced responsibly from managed forests. For every tree harvested, they also plant new trees. And to date, the brand has planted over 2 million trees around the world, so you can feel good about the gifts you are giving this holiday season from Origins. The Origins gift sets are available at origins.com. It is the perfect gift for anyone in your life, whether they're really into beauty and skincare or not. Also, it's kind of great for yourself. And talking about what we were talking about earlier, it actually is the perfect stocking stuffer because it is the perfect size for a stocking, if I know my stockings correctly.
For a literal stocking.
Right. And I mean a stocking stuffer in the literal sense here.
Not a metaphorical sense. Like
not a metaphorical sense.
Sheets.
Right.
As stocking right. stuffers.
It's origins.com. Check out those gift sets. You won't be sorry you did.
Okay, our next story, a little Roni news. Ramona Singer confirms that she won't be on Roni any longer. Ramona Singer told Page Six exclusively that after 13 seasons on the show, she's not returning to The Real Housewives of New York. She said, "I do not want to do the show any longer. It's not for me at this time." But sources say that Bravo didn't offer the longest-serving member of the cast an opportunity to return for their revamped lineup. Earlier this year, the network had announced that there would be two new shows, Legacy and the new one. We spoke about the cast members on the new one. And then on Thursday, Page Six reported that execs were hoping to keep Luann and Sonia from last season of Rahoni for the new show and add alums Kelly Bensimone, Jill Zarin, and Dorinda Medley, plus a couple of TBD veterans.
I want to say that, of course, like Ramona says, she doesn't want to do it. And then like Bravo says, we were never going to offer it. I do feel like this is one of those situations where actually two things can be true at the same time. Like, I feel like Ramona probably knew she was maybe she had a lot of backlash. She had a really bad last one or two seasons. I think she probably knew what was coming and like made peace with it and actually really decided that this, because I saw her on a podcast and she was talking about like the new show and she didn't seem bitter. She really actually like seemed at peace.
Yeah. And we had spoken about that. I understand why Ramona, if she felt like she wasn't going to be asked, is making peace with it, maybe didn't want to be on it, even if she was asked, but that doesn't seem like the Ramona we know. But I do think it's a mistake on Bravo's part to not offer it to her and to not ensure that she's on it. Like the show, she's the only full-time cast member for the last 13 years. She is so much a part of like the initial shows, the initial success. And
the DNA of the show.
The DNA of the show. I think it's a mistake.
I think so too, especially if they're looking to bring back like Jill, like really, really OG people. Sonia didn't know these women. Sonia's like season 5. So to have only Luann be like the connector, I think is a mistake because Luann is really not polarizing. Like she's very caught up in her own world. She's not like a drama queen. Ramona is, and you need that. And I do agree. I think it's a mistake.
Yeah. But I also feel like Bravo doesn't want to like deal with instances where people are like constantly asking for so-and-so to be fired. And so like they have this, and they have that with like a lot of their cast members.
Yeah.
And they
slowly like trim the fat, Jackson, Brittany, like they're people who are polarizing.
Yeah. And they just don't really want to deal with that sort of stuff. I think they want to be very not controversial. And so they get rid of these people who I don't think they realize add so much to the show. And
right.
I think it's a mistake.
Well, that's then like a really, I think, similar conversation we would have about Lisa Rinna.
Mm.
You know, people call for her to be fired.
Yeah.
She is very polarizing. And I would love for her to be fired, but I think it would be, I'd be lying if I said the show might not suffer. Like, I think it might.
Yeah. And now I think back to other times where I was like, this person should be fired. Like, I actually, especially when it comes to like, how they're acting on the show and acting villainous. Right, like
Lisa Vanderpump,
Vicky. I was by the end of Vicky, I was like, we need no more Vicky.
Right.
And I think that when Bravo fires people because like the fans have turned on them, I think it's a mistake. You take out like the one person who's causing controversy within the show.
Right.
And then it's a lot of weak drama until they find a new person to villainize. And I think,
makes it really hard is that the women refuse to film with that person and like actually be friends with them.
Well, that's different, but that's not what we saw with Lisa Rinna. That's not what we've seen with
No, with Lisa Vanderpump, wanted to film
with
her.
Right, but like here's the thing. It's a job. Get to work. Get your fucking ass up and work. And it's the network people whose job it is to tell us what's good television. you know, and to know what's going to be good, not to just like listen to the fans who just like are like, I don't like this person. Goodbye to that person.
Facts.
You know, we're being spewed. And I'm even talking to myself because I feel like so many times I've been like, it's this person's time to go. And it's like, I don't make TV shows. What do I know?
Yeah, no, it's a really unique balance of like hating someone. All the women hate them, but like you have to acknowledge that like they do bring something to the platform.
Yeah. And they also they provide unity in everybody and the fans. Like they provide a sense of like community.
Camaraderie.
In feeling like, you know, oh, we're all together against this villain.
True.
So as long as that person's up for it, I think that's what makes good television. Yeah.
Well, I think Ramona will definitely be missed. I think it truly is the end of an era.
Yeah. Okay, ready for our next story? A little charity news.
Charity World?
Charity World is buzzing because Jeff Bezos has vowed to give away most of his fortune in his lifetime. Right now, his fortune is 124 billion. And he's handed Dolly Parton $100 million. Jeff Bezos has promised to give away the vast majority of his $124 billion fortune during his lifetime, but admitted that ensuring that the most worthy causes benefit is proving as difficult as building his empire. So he, one, gave Dolly Parton $100 million to donate to charities of her choice as part of his annual Courage and Civility Award. So that way Dolly can keep doing her Dolly things and being the philanthropist queen that we love. Queen. And then he also said that he will give away most of his wealth in his lifetime to causes. I need to find the quote.
Environment.
The environment, and then also causes that would bring unity amongst peoples.
Okay, so I obviously saw he was going to be giving a huge chunk of his money to like climate change and the environment. I mean, we were just talking about this with the CEO of Patagonia, who left every dollar to his name to the environment as well. I'm sure his children were really happy about that. And I asked the question then, and I didn't get a definitive answer. And I'm going to ask the question now, like, what is money going to do for the environment? Like, for real? I feel like now we're at the point where it's like, so many people, the guy from Twitter, everyone pledges their billions to the environment. And as far as I know, nothing's getting better. So I feel like, you know, we all like need to stop like, you know, polluting and littering and all that stuff. And where does money come into that? Like, I'm constantly confused how money helps climate change.
Like how the environment accepts payment to get
to the Venmo
to clean itself.
Yeah, like I just don't understand how money is the answer to climate change. Like I know how money would be the answer to poverty. Because money is the problem.
Right.
So like, or, you know, hunger, like childhood hunger. Like I know how money would solve other philanthropic causes, you know, kids who need to go to school, scholarships, like money is the answer to all those things.
Yeah.
Baby to Baby, which everyone's talking about because Kim got that award. Amazing organization. Like that money actually helps
it's
children
changing
in
lives.
Need. I don't understand, like maybe I'm limited by my intelligence here.
This is the
I don't understand how money helps the environment.
Yeah, I want to say two things. One, I think that, you know, the person listening to this who's screaming into the void would be saying like, it's about like investing in cleaner energy, alternate forms of green energy, like things in which pollute the environment less. What?
Things in which to green.
Things in which to green. But two, there are so many figures that come out about how like billionaires and wealthy people contribute more environmental, have a bigger climate footprint than than a million lay people combined. And it's like,
no,
well,
of course.
Stop telling the lay people what to do. And maybe
no,
if you're so committed.
That's why I can't hear everyone talking
if so
about
committed
climate change
to the, like,
while they get on their jet.
Anyone who's committed to climate change and the environment, who's also stepping on their private jet, who's getting on yachts, who's like doing all of these things, your argument's null and void.
No, seriously,
take
shut
a
the
sailboat.
Fuck up. Like, remember?
Take a
when
sailboat.
Remember when Leonardo DiCaprio once flew JetBlue in and was like, I've solved climate change. Like, no, you didn't. Everyone,
so
like
crazy.
Harry and Meghan are big on climate change. Like, nobody uses a private plane more. And of course, I understand, like, you can't be hopping on commercial flights. But, like, you can really be cutting down how much you travel. And you can fly commercial if you're flying, like, a 12-hour flight. Like, you can sit in first class.
Why can't they fly on commercial flights? Why can't Jeff Bezos fly commercial?
It's a security risk for a lot of them. I understand.
What do you mean? They have security with them. They...
No, but like even the way that like so many of them will travel to a place together and take separate planes. I mean, the Kardashians, like they'll all go on a family vacation and like take six different planes.
Yeah. Or like
Kylie wants to leave 30 minutes later.
Yeah.
So, but the Kardashians, I don't feel like are up my ass with climate change. Like they don't bother me like, about it.
There was, I forget which forum, there's a bunch of them, but maybe it was like WEF or Davos or something like that, where the subject was climate change and everybody took their own jets. And it's like,
right, why all those people, like all those summits for climate change, where like literally the private airport is overwhelmed with inbound and outbound flights.
Well, no, like they tell us how to live, and it's like we are emitting less climate change, less carbon emissions in our whole life than you did this afternoon.
No, yeah, and it's like we actually like do stuff in our homes, like we switched out of straws, like we do the stuff. Stop preaching to us, okay? We don't like what we contribute. When I see people
switched
on TikTok,
out of straws.
No,
our girl did not.
When I see people on TikTok who talk about like they've committed their lives to like zero waste, like they won't eat, they went when they go to the grocery store, like they only go to farmers markets and they bring their own mason jars so they don't use any plastic bags. Like you think about all the waste, like all the trash that accumulates in one day. And I'm like, this is so admirable of you. And it's such a fruitless endeavor because literally like one celebrity leaves their house for a night and everything you're doing is useless.
It's over.
So it's nice, but I would love some clarification. This is a total genuine question, like how money fixes the environment.
Yeah. Also, I'd love to know what Dolly's going to do with that $100 million.
And I just want to say, like, if anybody wants to give me an endowment, obviously I will take a percentage of myself just to, like, you know, buy a house and stuff. But something I think is, like, a really worthy cause, and I could see how money would help, and it's an environmental thing. I'm always seeing these videos on TikTok of, like, these enormous boats that have been created to fish trash out of the ocean, and like they'll sail for like hours and hours, and then you'll see it's literally like the craziest thing. That's a worthy fucking cause.
Ooh, yeah,
I love it. It's so satisfying to watch all the time. And like these nets are literally built to be able to not catch fish, because it's like you're casting a huge net in the ocean, you're gonna pick up trash, you're gonna pick up a shark. Yeah. Like so these nets are really special.
Wow. Also, out of just curiosity, the Courage and Civility Award has been around since 2021, and last year's winner was Van Jones and Jose Andres. So, love to know what they did with their 100 mil.
Oh, yes. I'd like a follow-up.
I wonder if Jeff asked for receipts.
I'm sure there has to be some accountability. It's $100 million.
I know. I would like to know as a layperson.
I just want to say, like, I feel like we're always talking about, like, celebrities like doing charity, yada yada, and it's like, how are there still so many problems? Everyone's apparently giving up billions.
Yeah, and like with the giving pledge, where billionaires like pledge to give their wealth to charity, most of it because they could never spend it in one or many lifetimes. There's a lot of charity out there, but there's also a lot of corruption.
Billions. Yeah, corruption, of course.
Yeah, as we saw just in Selena Gomez's documentary,
We the World, whatever it was called. We Charity.
Crazy stuff. Are you ready for our fifth and final story? A little more global news. Look at us. Just like a couple of globalists.
Couple of global girls.
The human race has reached 8 billion people. Congrats, humans. We did it.
Congrats.
I saw the craziest headline, which was that baby born on November 15th brings the human race to 8 billion. And it's like, you're not tracking human population in real time.
Do we know who the baby is?
And it's like, how many people died in that minute too, when we went under and we went over? Like, right, you don't know. Right. And I'm sure there are people who are not registered with the UN.
Right, right. Also, I remember when we hit 7 billion. I was in high school and like everyone was talking about it. It was like, oh my God, 7 billion. So I guess it's been like 10 years. That's how long it takes to create a billion people.
In this day and age.
You know, netting with the dead.
Right. So 8 billion humans are living on planet Earth, a huge milestone officially projected for and being recognized today by the UN. This matters because people are living longer with generally better access to healthcare, food, clean water, and sanitation than in past generations, and a smaller share of humans are living in extreme poverty. The Earth's population has doubled since 1974, which I find interesting. And countries that have populations of over 1 billion right now are China and India. Then
not us?
No, we're in between 51 million and 250 million. But I don't know what, I feel like we're...
That's it?
I feel like we're like 200 million U.S. population.
Damn. Maybe it's
332 mil.
Maybe the population count is off because I definitely did not fill in my census.
That's not good, McLeod.
Then no, that's on me. Like I should have done it, but like, I'm like, why do you guys want all this information? You know, I felt like someone was on to me.
Yeah, it's a lot of personal information. Like, fuck off.
Yeah, no, and like, I pay my taxes, okay? Like, leave me alone.
Yeah. Yeah, but the sentence is like pretty cool, you know?
No, it's like a good thing. And like, you know, if my ancestors in hundreds of years want to track me down, there's going to be no information because I didn't fill out my census.
Aside from this podcast, your Instagram, every piece of you that you leave, all your merch.
All my merch. So true.
They'll track down their great Auntie Claudia.
Be like, wow, my great Auntie Claudia was a star.
Yeah. They'll watch your specials.
Only when they turn 18.
So I think the government knows about you.
I think they know about me too. I've been trying to dodge them for years.
Good luck.
Keep coming back.
Anyways, congrats, Earth. We did it. 8 billion.
Congratulations, class of 2023.
Yeah.
Gotta perfect that squeak. We did it. No. We did it. Okay, that was kind of it's like how L did
like
it.
Like cringy every time, unless it's L. No offense.
Are you calling me cringe?
Not you. Just what you said.
Not you. Not just the person I'm podcasting with, but not you.
Not you. You're not cringe. Just the thing in which you stated was cringe.
Thanks. Let's dive into the TV recap. The Crown, yes. Love is Blind, and Yellowstone. TV recap is brought to you by the Solo Stove. There's nothing quite like the feeling of gathering around a warm fire on a cool evening. And a smokeless fire pit from Solo Stove makes your outdoor moments even more memorable. Because instead of having to constantly dodge campfire fumes, you can now sit back, relax, and actually enjoy the fire with Solo Stove. And during Solo Stove's early deals event, you can get a great deal on a Solo Stove fire pit. So if you want to upgrade your backyard with a Solo Stove fire pit and create story-worthy moments without the fireside fumes, then check out Solo Stove, whether you have a backyard or if you live in an apartment but you travel a lot and you think, like, we have one in the city and we obviously don't have any space for a fire pit because we live in an apartment. When we go on family vacations, we're always bringing the Solo Stove. It's very portable. It's very easy to travel with. It's super light. And it really is the best way to enjoy a fire. It is a stainless steel construction, and it is designated to regulate airflow and burn more efficiently. There's so little smoke, you will wonder how there's so much fire. It is the perfect catalyst for getting outside, spending time with family and friends, and you can build lasting memories around a Solo Stove fire pit. They are brilliantly engineered to be easy to use, and they're built to last. They're very easy to light with just a few bits of starter, and your fire will be blazing in minutes. At Solo Stove, they are so confident that you'll love it. They offer a lifetime warranty and a 30-day free return policy. Let the gifting begin and shop Solo Stove's early deals event for a huge site-wide savings. That's $10 off with promo code TOAST, plus a lifetime warranty and free 30-day returns, an extra $10 off holiday deals. So they've already have great deals at solostove.com. Then use code TOAST for an extra $10 off. Again, that's promo code TOAST at solostove.com.
Okay, let's do it. I'm so excited to talk about The Crown.
For me, I definitely felt it was a slow season. I thought it was a little lackluster. When episode 10 ended, I'm like, okay, on to the next episode. It was not final. Like, I get it. It was like two women, two boats, two different stories. But like, it was just not, it didn't leave us on a cliffhanger, but it also didn't wrap anything up. It was just kind of abrupt.
Yeah, I feel like this season and next season, like, could have been all one season the way that it's going to be filmed. It's like, yes, next season episode one is going to start like 5 minutes after the end of episode two. Like, she's going to the boat in Saint-Tropez. I actually enjoyed this season so much. I don't know if it was because, one, like, The Crown is just a good show and we don't have a lot of good shows, and so like compared to a lot of the other stuff that I watch, like, this is good even when it's not good. Two, I didn't love last season. I felt like last season was disappointing, and so I thought this was better than last season and therefore really good. I was actually like, even though, you know, I love all things Queenie, I was like not looking, actually I was looking forward to watching The Crown, but like when I was starting it, I hate getting into a show again, and I just like didn't feel like I was going to, but I thought it was really, really good initially, and that was surprising to me. I also, one, miss the Queen, and I'm so glad to have a reason to talk about her, to reminisce, But this period that we're in, the 90s, it was like a bad decade for the queen.
It was the queen's flop era.
It was her flop era. It was her Annus Horribilis era.
Yes, it was really painful to watch, like knowing that obviously things got better, but like it was really bad for a long time. Obviously, I wasn't alive, so I don't recall it. And I'm not even British, so I don't even realize like, you know, what the culture was like at the time.
Right. And I have just watched The Queen with Helen Mirren. So I know that like the post-Diana time was a really hard time for the royal family because they didn't handle it in the way that a lot of people felt that they should have. A lot of people are very sympathetic towards Diana, feel like the royal family inadvertently killed her. I didn't realize that she had a number of bad years leading up to the Diana stuff. So like, that makes that even crazier. And honestly, I'm shocked that there even still is a monarchy after all of that. And so knowing how close they were to perhaps the end, it's crazy to look back on. And now at this point, like that's 30 years ago. That's a long time ago.
No, and it's literally like when Charles was being sat in business class while everyone else was in first class. Like, that was shocking.
Yeah, but they do now. I mean, I don't know if the king or the queen flies commercial ever, but everyone else does sometimes in first class. Like, Even when Harry was a prince, like, he would be spotted on a plane.
Yes, that's true, actually.
So, like, no offense, if, like, royal family members can fly commercial and figure it out, so can wealthy billionaires.
Facts.
Just saying.
Facts.
So I enjoyed it very, very much. I know a lot of people were shook up by the recasting again.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk about, because I have to say, I thought Dominic West actually was excellent, and I was so against him being in it. I just like hate Dominic West, and every time I see something he's in, like, he wins me over with his talent.
He's a good actor.
He's a good actor. A lot of people are saying like he's too handsome to have played Charles, but I think a lot of people forget like when Charles was young, he wasn't ugly.
Yeah, I don't think our issue with Charles is his looks. I feel like
everything else.
He was fine playing Charles. I don't find Dominic West like so handsome or not handsome. He's just like a man. And so is Charles to me. I think that on that count, it's totally fine. And I was ready to see like grown Charles, because I was thinking back to the characters from last season, Diana and Charles, and they were so much younger.
And but the guy who played Charles last season was excellent.
I know, but he was really such a kid. And so
I refuse to be blamed any longer for this grotesque misalliance.
Is that TikTok?
It's Charles.
I know, but is it famous from TikTok?
Not the woman you married. I refuse to be blamed any longer for this grotesque misalliance. I wash my hands of it. Yeah, it's TikTok.
I thought that Elizabeth Debicki as this season's Princess Diana was a slay.
Excellent.
She was so
excellent.
Good. People did not like the queen. As the queen, they don't like Imelda Staunton. Apparently, she's Dolores Umbridge from Harry Potter, and they can't square it away. She didn't bother me so much. I think some of the issue was like I could see her being Queen Elizabeth, but she wasn't harking back to Olivia Colman the way that Olivia Colman I felt like was harking to Claire Foy. Like those two together,
they connected.
Was very congruous. I felt like this was more of a leap, and I also feel like the queen is in her flop era. She's kind of not as lovable this season. And that also overshadowed how you felt about her.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. Like, you were watching it through the lens of, like, her just, like, honestly flopping and, like, doing nothing about it. And I know that's, like, her job to do nothing. But it was really frustrating to watch. And you really have to think, like, what could they have done better to avoid this flop era? And I think it started with every single one of her kids getting divorced. And even before Charles and Diana, it was, like, Andrew and Princess Anne. And I just, not to, like, shame, I do feel like she took her job so seriously that she definitely neglected some of her motherly duties.
Yes.
And I think she was so blinded by her job and so obsessed with making good matches for her kids, like she didn't even care if they weren't even the slightest bit happy, because back in her day it didn't even matter, you had to stay married the whole time. But like divorce becoming like really popular and like then applying that to the royal family, yeah, becoming an option, like definitely threw her through a loop. So like the way that she kind of forced her kids into marriages that they didn't want to be in, but then they eventually ended up having an out, really did make her look bad.
Okay, I totally agree. And I feel like especially with Charles and Camilla, it's like if they just marry from the outset, this would be a completely different story. But then I was thinking about it, and I think that the queen after all of the 90s kerfuffle, did have an about face. And I feel like actually Harry and Meghan is a great example of her completely course correcting from Princess Margaret. So Princess Margaret was the spare. She wanted to marry a divorcee who was not in any way, shape or form royal and an unsuitable match. And she did not let Margaret choose with her heart.
Yeah.
Prince Harry,
that's a good point,
is the spare. He marries a divorcee. He married exactly who he wanted to. He married for love and the queen did not stand in his way whatsoever. But look what happened. Not to say that like something bad would have happened if Margaret could have married Townsend, but like Harry married someone who doesn't have that regard for the royal family as this institution that's like infallible. And what's worse for the firm? Princess Margaret getting a divorce and being unhappy, or Harry and Meghan being happy and leaving the royal family and taking a big, hot, steaming dump on it?
I don't know what's worse. But also, by the way, I think that about face can also be seen in William and Kate, because Kate is everything, but she is a commoner. Like, she has no royal blood. She doesn't have a title. Her parents don't have titles. And I actually think it worked in their favor for that, because people love Kate, but also a lot of people wanted to be Kate. And like, Kate gave every girl who lives in London, like, you could be queen one day, bitch. Look at me. I'm a nobody. Even though, of course, she's very wealthy. She had a connection. She went to St. Andrews. That's how she met him. Like, you have to be someone to be in the same room as Prince William. But she was a nobody.
But I also feel like, yes, William didn't marry a royal person or someone of aristocracy, but like, those things don't really exist anymore. Like, it's not like there are other major royal houses of Europe the way that there was 100 years before.
No, but people still have titles.
Yes, but it's dwindling.
And a lot of the women that like William was like out and about with were these like socialite aristocratic girlies. Like, yes, Poppy Delevingne.
Yes, but like, those titles, one, are dwindling. Like, people are losing their houses and they don't really mean anything. Like, they don't mean what they used to. And so to me, that seems like less of a leap. It's not like if Queen Victoria, if the heir...
No, it's way less of a leap, but it's still, especially he's the future sovereign. Like, he's not the spare.
Yeah, I feel like with every generation, the rules lessen a little bit. And I felt like the queen learned her lesson with Margaret, and then she applied it to her kids in their second marriages, and then applied it with her grandkids in their first marriages.
That's true. That's really true.
And I felt
so
bad.
So overall, it was a fine season. I just felt like it was a big waste of time.
No, it was not a waste of time. We had so many iconic things that happened. And like, this was the era, 90s is like really like pop culture. And when there's like tabloids and paparazzi and the internet is coming about, and like the interviews, like the Andrew Morton book, the Martin Bashir interview, the Tampax conversation, like all of this stuff stuff that I've heard of, but I didn't know about really at all. Like, I really didn't know this tampon thing.
And I knew the tampon thing.
I knew
thing.
There was like a tampon thing, but I didn't know anything beyond that.
Let me tell you how not cool that is. Like, that's such an invasion of privacy. Like, it's so horribles. I don't think it's, but I also felt like these iconic moments, they also kind of breeze past, like revenge dress.
Yeah. No, and it's like, what I don't understand is the way I perceive Princess Diana, and maybe this is what there is to understand, is like, she was the creme de la creme, doesn't get more A-list, could go to anything, be friends with anyone, go anywhere on any trip, and like...
And she had nobody.
And she sat alone at Kensington Palace, like 24/7 watching reality TV and calling in.
And she hated Kensington Palace, she hated being bugged, but in the divorce settlement, she... required that she keep her place there.
Yeah, and like Kensington Palace is like, it wasn't just their house, like they lived among Princess Margaret.
The neighbors.
The aunties. And yet she spent all her time there when she could literally go anywhere in the world and anyone would have been so happy to have her.
No, and it was really sad because I think a lot of the things that she did, like she was clearly manipulated. Like the book, the interview, she was... not making the best decisions because she had nobody to count on. Like, no friends, no family, nothing.
Yeah, especially the Martin Bashir interview, which we recently had spoken about. William and Harry, like, made a statement once it surfaced that the BBC had used dishonest methods to get Diana to sit for that interview. And, like, that's just so crazy now seeing it. Like, and what a... That was the nail in the coffin for Diana. And, like, if she hadn't been misled into giving that interview, like, things might have been... ended differently.
Right. So in a way where so many of the people who say like the royal family is responsible for Diana's death, I think one could argue the media is more responsible for her death.
More specifically, the BBC.
Right.
That's just, but who would question, like, the BBC is like the government's broadcasting service. That's like PBS coming to you with fake receipts and telling
no,
you.
No, it's psychotic.
And she already has these suspicions. And I'm sure to some degree she was spied on. I think that they all are spied on. Like, the firm wants to know what everyone's up to. But to have her, like, she has so few people that are she's actually close to. And then to have her question and turn on those people and isolate her in that way is just so horrible.
Agreed. I just felt like I was waiting for the other shoe to drop, and I'm like ready for the next season. They really need to have it out now.
I'm ready for the next season just because now I'm in it. My favorite episode, which I talked about on my Instagram, was the episode six with
Russia.
Oh my gosh. The way I was living. You know, we talked about it on the show because I watched a documentary, which if you liked episode six at all, you should watch. It's called The Last Tsar, and it's about Tsar Nicholas's final years with his wife and his daughters and then Alexei and how the conditions became such that there was like this revolution and such a brutal ending to the Romanov family. And so I'm obsessed with like the ending of the Romanovs. But what's so crazy is Prince Philip's contribution to identifying their remains. The show made it seem like it all hinged on Prince Philip and he was the one who connected them. Like, there were a lot of people who gave DNA because there are a lot of descendants of Queen Victoria and such. But I just found that episode so interesting. And then going back to Queen Mary and King Edward and like the initial match, which is King Edward was supposed to be with Tsarina over there, but she like loved Tsar Nicholas and she went over to Russia with him. And it's just, and then that woman, Penny, who's like Prince Philip's girlie. And I actually really like her, and he deserves a friend. He deserves a gorgeous young friend.
The episode that I liked the best was getting to know Muhammad and Dodi. Like, the way I would literally take a bullet for Muhammad, he's so, I don't know if that's what he was like in real life. The guy who's playing him is making him out to be so fucking funny. And he's definitely like an anti-Semite. Like, he's definitely racist, but he's got charisma. Like, he was saying something anti-Semitic, and I'm sorry, like, I was cackling. It was so funny. What? He's like a Jew?
So funny. The way that he has spent his billions is exactly how I would spend mine, trying to get close to the queen, trying to make the queen happy,
he's accepting scraps. Like, literally, they sent the press secretary to go collect all the things, and everyone is so disappointed. He's like, what are you talking about? We made the queen very happy.
Obsessed. I agree. Obsessed. I loved that episode. I love his like standhood for the queen, though.
But my God, his son is a fucking loser.
Big time loser. Oh my God. His son is like so cringe. I can't. But
cringe.
I'm curious how eventually knowing what happens between Dodi and Diana and the royal family, like how Muhammad is going to square like his love for the royal family with like what happened.
He's going to grapple that. He's going to have to really struggle.
And I don't know what happened in real life, so I hope that the crown stays true to that.
And then really quickly, Love is Blind. Let me tell you how the craziest thing happened. Oh, so that's it on the crown? Yeah. Just, anything else you want to say?
I don't know. It's just so good. Like, so they work so hard on the whole show, and we just like gave it 10 minutes. You know, I feel bad.
I didn't think it was that great. I'm sorry. Was there anything else you wanted to say?
I don't know. I have to think about it. Who else was there? Like young William and Harry loving getting to know the boys.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're getting to know William. I don't know him like that.
Right. And it's crazy though that we've just like fully caught
and
up.
And now we're here. And now we said it. And like William is like a pensive young boy. And he seems very like level-headed. And like he'll be a good king. And I love his like tea with the queenie. Seeing them bond.
No, he's very tight with Gran.
Over television. Yeah. Having her like him set it up. Like the royals, they're just like us. You need your kids to work the TV.
100%.
I guess I'll move on.
So Love is Blind, whatever, like the weddings happen, but this is what everyone's talking about. Let me tell you, they did a reunion and this couple who didn't get married, Cole and Zineb, she like read him to filth at the altar and he was like not a good boyfriend and they definitely shouldn't have gotten married. He was like really immature. And he just kept saying, like, you know, you're not like my usual type physically. So like, I'm struggling with that. And he like didn't have to say it as many times as he did. Like, he was a little bit of a dick. And then on the reunion, she makes these crazy accusations that he like destroyed her self-confidence. He would constantly make comments about what she was eating, telling her to stop eating, like really crazy stuff. And she was like, you should just be really, really grateful that like that footage didn't make it to air. Like the scene with me eating the cuties, the little clementines, we know those. She's like, that scene, like you're so lucky. And he's sobbing. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I love you. And like, I've literally, you're crazy lying right now. And she's like, oh my God, you're gaslighting me. And people really didn't know where to land. And then Netflix came in clutch with the footage. And let me tell you how much of a nothing burger it was. Like, she's eating fruit and they have this big dinner plan tonight. And I think it's maybe like 4 or 5 o'clock. And he's like, oh my God, we're going to eat so much tonight. And she's like, I know, I like haven't eaten all day. Like, all I had was a banana, which is why I'm like shoving my face right now with like grapes and fruit. And he's like, what do you mean? Like, you only ate a banana today? Like, he was just asking questions about what she ate. Like, she had served up information and he was just asking a question like a good boyfriend should. And it's clear that she like has food issues and like she's on TV and trying to fit into a wedding dress. And like, it's, you know, it can be toxic. It really had nothing to do with him. And so like, she is getting dragged to filth for being like caught in pretty much a lie. Now, a lot of people are coming to her defense being like, you know, it could be her truth. You know, people love to be like that, her truth when someone's caught lying. She like released an apology. Me and Margo are in the queue for Taylor Swift tickets and there are over 2,000 people in front of us. Like, there's no hope. And this is just for one show, not for even the whole concert, okay? She released an Instagram statement that was really, she's not backing down. Okay. She said, oh, did she delete it? Oh my God. I think she did. Oh, it's gone. She was like an apology to the internet. I'm sorry you didn't see what I went through. I'm sorry you don't know anything about me. It was like hella aggressive. And so people are like divided and like having a conversation about like the cuties thing. But like a bunch of people watched it and then like all looked at each other and were like, was that like nothing? People were like, what was so crazy? Like the allegations she was hurling during the reunion were like so crazy. And so we were expecting like, and if it was that big, they would have put it in.
Yeah, I'm glad that they aired the footage. I'm glad that he stood up for himself because I think a lot of times people can be silenced by being told that like they did something so egregious like that. And mm-hmm. And I think the way that you're describing it, she has food issues. And I think that, not to say this is her truth, but some people like hear something, you could say words and it goes into their brain and they interpret it as something completely different. Like
they receive it differently.
Right. So like for her, he's asking what she ate that day. And maybe it's because like he sees that she has food issues and is concerned that that's all she ate. And like, she's also someone who just had a bananas eat stuffing her face with grapes and clementines, like is not,
you know, healthy,
not totally healthy. And so there's obviously a different dynamic at play. And so I'm sure like she heard him asking like, oh, so what did you eat today? And she heard it with like a tone of like, what did you eat today?
Yeah.
So
it was just like a weird. But really, I also think weird,
it's important. Like, so yes, that's her truth and that's how she experienced it. But I also think it's important to call that shit out and be like, okay, sure. But that's not facts. That's not what happened. You right. can't slander someone's good name with what's going on in your head when they didn't yeah. misbehave.
No, I agree. There has to be some like sort of accountability because the way like these days you'll call someone something and that label sticks with you forever. It's so unfair to do that. Not even
you called someone something. They felt a certain way based on how you acted and what you said when you didn't misbehave towards them. It's just like perhaps their insecurity or their personal issues that they're projecting onto you and they feel like you made them feel a certain way because that's just how they feel about themselves. But then like you're the bad person. You're the bully. And it's like, if you want to, you know, not operate in reality, go ahead. But don't right. bring other people down with you.
Yeah.
And slander an otherwise good name.
He was like sobbing on the couch. It was actually so sad. I'm like, who do I believe here? Because at first I totally believed her because he was like this like dumb, immature, like whatever frat boy.
No, and a lot of times when people make really accusations, like you're inclined to believe them because people shouldn't lie.
Right.
So you believe them.
So I was just shocked because then they get the footage. I'm looking around. I'm like, am I missing something? This is not crazy.
Good for Netflix for releasing the footage because it otherwise would have been like he said, she said, this person's name would really be drugged through the mud. Dragged. And especially it doesn't have a great track record of saying you're not my type. The shoe might have fit.
Because he didn't look amazing and he didn't do everything right. And he wasn't a great fiance. And he's too immature and he was a little too young. Like, he wasn't coming off perfectly, and then there was this cutie thing. He was already, like, people were inclined to believe he did what she said he did because he was kind of like a prick.
Yeah.
It was sad. Tell me about Yellowstone.
Yellowstone, two-hour premiere. I think mine was, like, 2 hours, 15 minutes because it definitely went over the 2 hours, but it was two episodes that they dropped, which thank you, Queen, Tyler, yeah, Sheridan. Nice. I guess I'll be spoiling some of it. Our boy is the governor, and he's taking no prisoners. I literally chuckled out loud with the scene with the driver when he was, like, telling his driver not to repeat anything that was said. And then the driver was like, I would do everything the same if I were you. And he was like, I want this driver every time. And I'm a little worried, you know, John is being a little bullheaded and not going to do what's best for the ranch because...
I feel like I might watch Yellowstone.
Okay, you can take it off.
I'm just
going to take
off
your
things.
Okay. And not that I trust Jamie whatsoever, but maybe he knows what he's talking about in terms of the legality of what John is trying to do. I hate Jamie, and I wish that they had a better, or maybe my TV just cut it off of, like, recap of last season, because, like, I needed to get into, like, my hatred of Jamie mind again, because when Beth is, like, so mean to him and won't give him a whiskey, and John is, like, telling her to give him a whiskey, so it's like, oh, well, if John says it, it's fine. I just, like, want her to be not nicer to him, but I just feel like the meaner she is to him, like, the more she's going to push him away, and he's going to do something crazy and diabolical, as opposed to, like, if he felt like he had a family, maybe he would act right. But, you know, for years they did treat him well, and he didn't act right. And I need to remember what happened last season with his dad. I think his dad hired the hit on the whole family, and then he did some other stuff, but I can't fully remember. Anyways, Beth is our queen. Beth and Rip forevermore. I wish they did a better job of letting us know when something was a flashback, because the scene of the telephone pole going up and the guy and the acid, took me a while to remember what was what, but then I remembered that character, the guy who gave young Rip the truck, and I was like, oh, this is a young Rip situation. I don't give a rip. I'm still, nope, it's not safe. It's not safe.
No, that's fine. I do want to alert you to the fact that we probably have 3 minutes left on our memory cards. Today's episode is so long, so I don't want you to...
shoot. Anyways.
Just keep that in mind. Okay, no. I'm going to take my headphones back off.
Okay. All I'm going to say is that I typically don't like watching Yellowstone week to week, so I'm not going to recap it every week unless, like, there's an outpouring of support, in which case I will watch it week to week. I like to batch watch them, but I did watch the premiere because I wanted to get on the Yellowstone vibe that everyone was on. I didn't want to see a spoiler accidentally, though this wasn't a really spoilerish episode, so there's nothing I would have seen on social media. But, you know, you get scared. People, like, are posting a tribute to Beth and Rip, and I'm like, oh my god, did Rip die? No, he didn't. Anyways, things are good. When things are good for the Duttons, things are good for us, and right now the Duttons are in a strong place, which just makes me nervous because, you know, what goes up must come down, and that market equities lady is not happy. Oh, and then we have East Coast Beth coming, which is, I'm glad that we have, you know, someone to counter Beth. I think that will be a nice antidote. But to be like fake Beth with brown hair, I'm not here for it. She walks like Beth. She talks like Beth. She has her hair messy like Beth. And it's like, get your own thing going on, you know? Those are my thoughts. Now I'm good.
All right. Thank you so much, Jackie, for that gorgeous Yellowstone recap. I enjoyed that immensely.
Yeah, because you didn't have to listen to it.
I love you.
Sure.
I love you. And that is our show, just in the nick of time before our memory cards run out.
For Taylor Swift.
Thank you guys so much. No, I'm going to be on cue for like an hour for sure. Darn. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Toast the Millennium Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places where you listen to podcasts. Find us, the Toast, leave a five-star review about how wickedly talented we are. have an amazing day, right? Yep. And we'll see you tomorrow for hump day.
And merch drop 10 a.m. Set your alarms. Set your alarms because...
Toastmerch.com.
Toastmerch.com, 10 a.m. Holiday find, stocking stuffers, gifts for your loved ones. Love ya. Bye.